Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making this part of your day. Woolchuck's Top 10 is coming up at 4:20. It's time now for the Chief and a proper rim session. Here he is, Eric.
Thanks to the Tolos 972 and 817 informing me that was my fault on D-Rob. I'm filled with nothing but shame and regret right now as I teed up the very important
what
do you know your teammates
me.
Question. And he was dumbfounded. He was at a loss for words. He was just exhaling into his phone, having no idea what he's supposed to do. So that's my fault, and hopefully we get him back for redemption for me. He doesn't have to
Boy,
hold any
am
of that
blame. Impressive.
But right now, we will go ahead, and we will cut those lights out for the final time of the 2024 NBA season. We will put those kids down for that afternoon snoozer, and the G-Bag Nation, once and for all, is going to go all 56 inches around that rim. It's always a special occasion when you're down and out and all you can do is make fun of everything around you to make yourself feel better. And that's what we're going to do over the course of the next few minutes here. We're going to start with James Harden now being the active record holder with 166 playoff games without a championship.
Wow.
Move over, Al Horford. Make a place for James Harden.
That's right.
Gosh.
I'm also
happy for Al, I guess. I mean, it's been a long ride.
How did you guys enjoy the or appreciate with 2 minutes and 37 seconds left in the Game 5 blowout last night in Boston where Kyrie was going around and dapping up and hugging everyone, just showing love to all the Celtics players as his team was down and out and the series was over? Or were you like, what are we doing right now?
Honestly, I'd stopped paying attention to what was happening on TV when the team that I'm rooting against, it's official, all but the final horn, I can't watch anymore.
Nope. Same
so
way.
I wasn't watching.
You already turned
I think
it
that's
off.
That's on brand for Kyrie. I think the relationships are more important than the competitiveness. So in a moment like that, if you want to, you know, show some love and tell him how proud you are for him, I think that's what the bigger man does.
So do you have any, is there any Kyrie concerns, or is it just, man, Boston's so good and the history and the entire backdrop of what the Kyrie Boston story is, him being in Boston for this series, 14 points per game, sub 18% from the 3-point line, 30% or 34% from the field, under 40% true shooting percentage, just like not himself. Is that just a Boston thing? You're not concerned moving forward if you're going up against another team in the finals next year?
Oh, no, because it happened against OKC as well. I think, you know, what some of the critics are saying, like Kyrie Irving isn't as good as he was, I think part of that is true.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, 32 years old.
Though.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And absolutely, I don't think it's just a Boston thing. because we saw him score 9 points in 2 games against Oklahoma City. So I think, you know, based on it, and Gavin, you talk about this a lot, like the size, right? He's a little bit of a smaller guard. The handles are unreal, maybe the best to ever do it in the sport. But as he's aging, I think there are certain defensive teams and defensive players that will create some problems for him. But I do love what he did. I mean, he's showing class, leadership, and really kind of the love that, everybody has for each other in that locker room, which is why they've been able to go on this amazing run.
Now, also saw this I thought was interesting. It's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Drew Holiday, now the only players with multiple championships in the 2020s. And it's just another it's another thing to point to and highlight that this is the parity in the sport right now. There's not just one team or one superstar Michael Jordan, yeah, LeBron kind of player or Golden State kind of team that's just dominating this thing. These are two role players that helped out, one with the Lakers, one with the Nuggets, and then Drew Holiday with the Bucks and with the Celtics now. So that's what it is, man. It is a big time high parity era that we're in right now.
It hasn't been like this, I think, since the 70s. Our entire lives have been dominated by the best players and those teams' ability to attract veterans who want to win a championship, you know. And it allowed you that once you got to the top to stay there. And I thought it was a perfectly fine business model. I like this one better, though, because now I think a lot more teams have a chance to win the championship. A lot more fans, yes, are going to be able to go on that magic carpet ride.
It's awesome. I think this is the sixth straight year we've had a different champion. And I think on the broadcast, they shared the stat that it's the first time in 7 years that the team who led the NBA with the best record actually won the championship. I think, yeah, it was Golden State was the last team, yeah, to do it. So the parity of the sport's great right now.
Have you ever seen this before, Broadus, or the rest of you? I've never seen this in my time just watching sports. After the game last night, the Celtics had on their, in their locker room, on their whiteboard, they had written noon flight to Miami. The team was going to board a plane and go party and celebrate in Miami, I guess because the city of Boston sucks so bad that they wanted to go party somewhere else for a few days before coming back for the parade.
In your face.
I just want to go Boston. Flaunt it to the Heat fans real quick. Like, we can't beat you all the time, but we did this year, and we won the championship.
The Mavericks win in 2011. They win in Miami. Of course, yeah, you're just going right. to stay overnight. And you're yeah. just going to do it right there, and then you'll come back for the celebrations. You're not flying to a destination celebration city that is not your town. I mean, if I'm a Boston human being, I feel like this is a slap in the face. Like,
a little bit, but yeah.
You won in your home court last night. You were in Boston.
Party in Boston.
This is a hometown game.
There's no good nightclubs in Boston?
I mean, I'm sure there are, but it's more of like a tavern. It's a northern town. It's, you know, not dissimilar to Buffalo with the ladies and the talent. You know, I can't blame these guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't tell that to the Boston ladies.
I mean, you don't hear about Boston ladies, do you?
No.
You hear about York City, classy gal. All the hot ones, you know.
Classy gal.
Yeah.
I was hoping it was a little bit more transient.
Shout out to our friend Lucy
from all over the country that were there, you know. I was hoping it was a melting pot.
She loves Boston, that's
Lucy,
for sure.
Lucy loves her some Boston.
Okay, yes, okay. Okay, then let me ask you this. Did they choose the right destination?
I would have gone to Vegas. I feel like Vegas is the place to go.
That's a long trip.
You're in Boston. Remember, you're in Boston.
Miami's a straight shot down the coast. Go for it.
So how much is like an hour difference, you think, in flight?
Oh, longer than that.
Longer than that.
Boston to Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cross country.
That's cross country.
5-6 hours.
Into the jet stream.
Let's call Blake and ask him what he thinks the distance might be. Let's get our expert.
How far
on
is it
this.
From Las Vegas to Nevada?
And how far is Boston from Massachusetts? You
know? That's a good question.
These are the important questions only Blake can answer.
What about Miami to Florida?
So yes, that's what you would do. You would just go to Miami?
Straight south, yeah.
Am I the only one that thinks it's a little bit weird? You guys are just fine with this?
No, it's 100%.
Like, if the Mavericks did this, I would be out of my mind. Like, you win the championship in Dallas, and you're like, guys, we're going to go fly somewhere cool for a few days, and then we'll come back, and we'll do the parade stuff with you guys here in this crappy little party town.
Yeah, I'm like partying.
I'm with you. Yeah, I'm offended.
I thought it was shocking as well.
Yeah,
you think, did they fly to Miami? Because there were some celebrations last night.
Yeah, this morning.
It was a noon flight. Like they probably.
So they actually got on the plane.
They probably just landed in Miami right now.
Okay.
And then they're going to come back super hungover for the parade.
On Friday. Supposedly is when the parade is on
okay.
Friday. So we'll have championship drunk parade Brian, Boston Brian on Friday.
So that what's that place in Miami called? Live?
Live.
Yeah.
L-I-V. Live.
L-I-V.
Live on Sundays. K-O-D on Mondays.
There you go.
Saudis dominating everything, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, there you go.
Here is Jason Tatum after the game. Okay, this is him at the microphone.
Oh, he blew this.
He was just overthinking it.
He way overthought it.
He's
a copycat.
He is. This is Jason Tatum celebrating on the court at the mic last night.
It's a surreal feeling. We did it. We did it!
Now, if you feel like you've kind of heard something similar to that, yeah, it's because the last time the Celtics won a championship, this was Kevin Garnett celebrating.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
I loved it when KG did it.
That was real, genuine, organic passion, championship passion there.
But they showed him with the trophy. Did you see the other thing?
Oh, he did the Corey Kobe. Seager. I guess we'll never know.
Yeah.
Well, he did the Corey Seager. Which is also, I mean, it's, I guess that's a Kanye thing that has now become. Yes.
And he only did it because Alex Bregman did it.
Right. Ugh. Yeah, the Corey Seager thing was in response to Alex Bregman taking a dig at an Astro, but I mean, that was Jason Tatum probably having envisioned himself using that exact line perhaps the entire postseason run as he was channeling and manifesting being a champion. He knew that was going to be his line. Yeah. But this thing with Kevin Garnett here is just hilarious. So he must have just watched this.
So he was the monotone guy and the yeller?
Yes.
I thought that was his buddy behind him.
No, that's him.
Yeah.
Okay. He's like, we did it. Surreal.
We did it.
And it's the exact same. Kevin Garnett's like, anything's possible. Anything's possible. Yeah. It's the exact same cadence and everything.
He's just not super excitable guy. He is monotone robot dude. While the, you know, earth is partying, he's just, you know, still just kind of having his conversation.
He kind of did one of those.
He wanted the moment, though.
He got Chris Bosh a little bit as well with the celebrations, with the bottles. Yeah, we remember that. Yeah. Infamous, just awful. I think now it's like it's a move over Chris Bosh, make a place for Jason Tatum here on one of the weirdest champagne facials ever seen in your life.
And he was getting trolled for his reaction after Jaylen Brown got the MVP, too.
Yeah.
People were like, gosh, Tatum was ticked.
Well, I will play for you the sound. You guys tell me, is this up there for one of the great Mike Breen calls ever, putting our biases aside? This was the moment.
Luke in the bubble.
This bang, was the moment bang, for Clippers. Sure where I knew the night was over.
4 seconds to go. Missed free throw. 4 for the rebound. Here's Pritchard. He loves these. Puts it up half court of the buzzer. Bang! Pritchard at the buzzer with a three-pointer. He's done it again.
I'm so pissed off at the Pritchard grenade that brought us lobbed our way on this program right before the start of this series. While he's wearing his Boston Celtics green, we should rip that off you right now. We should force you to go full Dr. Skin.
Boo.
We should be going full Dr. Skin. You should be in your skivvies right now doing this show. Bleep hole of the week, Brian brought
chill boys.
Yeah, Celtics green.
I'll accept that. Yeah.
That was just unbelievable. It's like, we're going to make two
of them. Okay. You do nothing the rest of the series.
How many bank threes do we get here?
Gosh.
Like, I'll admit how Boston's many, better. There's no way they're that much better than what we just saw.
How many jump balls did they get and threw them in with 2 seconds left, too? That was another one.
Absolutely. Annoying.
Jump ball, and all of a sudden they let it fly, and it goes in.
All the 50-50 balls, the hustle plays, the offensive rebounds, the tap outs, like they were better at all of that.
Dude, I wasn't with you guys to start the day here, but to me, I felt like the end of the first quarter was how the Mavericks lost that game.
I agree 100%.
That 9-0 run, back-to-back turnovers, I just felt like at that point in time, they really lost control of this game.
Yeah, I said that during crosstalk too. I mean, it was 19-18. And then from that point on, you look up, it's 28-18 at the end of the quarter. Yeah. Amen.
Coming up in 1 hour, I want to ask what might be an uncomfortable question about your guy, Luka Doncic, but I'm going to ask you that question coming up in 1 hour. Mm. So if you'd like to know what that question is and what our thoughts on it, stick around. Top 10 at 420 is coming up next. Bully, where are you taking it?
It's a big day. Brian, Lucius, it's National Go Fishing Day.
Yay!
Top 10 places to fish in Texas. Where's your favorite place to fish? That's next on the fam.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress.
Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Nation, and welcome back to the Dallas Mavericks, who returned home after an amazing season, but ultimately could not extend the series in Game 5 of the Finals. We'll talk more about that coming up in 1 hour. Pete Prisco's NFL Top 100 discussion coming up in about 15 minutes. And then Football's Finest coming up at 5. It's time now for the Top 10 at 420. Brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to FrankelFirm.com. Here's Wolchuk. Zach with an H.
Thank you very much. Happy National Go Fishing Day. We'll get to the top 10 best places to fish in the great state of Texas. Where's your favorite place to go fishing? 877-881-1053. Very quickly, some fight news to update you on. Jake Paul is still going to reschedule his fight against Mike Tyson. They are rescheduling for November 15th at AT&T Stadium, but he still wants to fight on July 20th. This will be on DAZN and be able to purchase on pay-per-view. He's going to now fight Mike Perry, who formerly was in the UFC and most recently in Bare Knuckle FC. So Mike Perry, who is 5-0 with 3 KOs in Bare Knuckle FC, will be fighting on July 20th against Mike Perry, I believe in Tampa is where they're going to fight there. So we'll still get a July 20th match with Jake Paul. November 15th, we'll get the fight with Mike Tyson. Hopefully Mike able to make that November 15th date.
Is there anything we need to know about this bare knuckle guy? Do you have any intel on him? Is this a fight that Jake Paul could lose? Would that knock the shine off of what the buildup for Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson would be? Or is it just a non-issue if he gets dominated by this bare knuckle guy? It's still Paul versus Tyson and we're all going to want to watch it?
Yeah, I thought that the second Jake Paul lost, maybe the shine would wear off. But he did lose to Tyson Fury's younger brother, and that didn't end up being an issue for Jake Paul. So I don't think that he will lose in a boxing match to Mike Perry, but Mike Perry is a wild animal, and most recently he did knock out a guy, I believe at a bar it was. I mean, you never know what you're going to get from Mike Perry. He's a guy that's going to say and do a lot of wild things, and there's a reason he's not in the UFC anymore, much like Sean Strickland that we're having now, like we were talking the other day. Like, they don't care what you say on a microphone. When we have those press conferences with Mike Perry and Jake Paul, that's going to be very interesting.
Oh, okay. He's one of those.
Very, very interesting. Yes, Mike Perry is one of those.
When you go bare knuckle, though, that's kind of like the last stop. Like, are you willing to do this
right
for a bag?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he's doing this for a bag, too. So I think Jake Paul gets this one. I don't think, but Mike Perry does have a strong punch. There's no doubt. Anytime you're boxing, you never know. You just get clipped right. That could be it. The other thing is we do have Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler that's going to be rescheduled. Initially, it was supposedly that Conor McGregor's hurt. Well, according to Chael Sonnen of ESPN's Good Guy, Bad Guy podcast, McGregor's not hurt. He said that, I don't know if we're making TV here, how much we're supposed to play along, but he's not injured. He is in rehab right now for drug and alcohol. So Conor McGregor supposedly in rehab. That's why this fight has been rescheduled. Nothing's been confirmed by Dana White or the UFC, but I would believe that since we did get that video of him partying at a club 6 weeks before it came out. And, you know, if you watched anything when it came to the movie release that he went on for Amazon Prime, it looks like he might have been on some substances.
Yeah, yeah. It's sad when it gets to this point. I'm just happy that, you know, he's taken that step in his life to try to get it back together.
Yeah, and hopefully that fight happens.
I feel like that's probably been the case for a decade now.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. Probably ever since the Floyd fight. Just been partying. His balls off. But he's rich now. He doesn't have to fight anymore. I don't know why he is. I would just retire and be happy with that if I were Conor McGregor.
He also loves the spotlight.
He does. Yeah. That also could be it. Maybe you're just craving the attention and the spotlights. You want to keep your name in it.
He did great in Roadhouse.
He did.
He's probably the best thing in that movie.
And I think there's going to be a sequel to it.
God darn it.
And maybe he's in the sequel to Roadhouse. I don't know.
I don't like how they made the main character depressed and everything. Yeah. In the original, he was like the man.
Patrick Swayze?
Yeah, Patrick Swayze was the man, bro. Yeah. This guy's like, oh, I don't want to do it. You know, I don't want to beat anybody up. Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal was going
like a Gen Z version.
Yeah.
Fit 2024.
Let's talk about it, dude.
All right, Lucius, let's talk fishing, baby. Where are your favorite places to go and fish? It doesn't have to be in Texas, but it can be. This list that I have is specifically the top 10 places to fish in Texas, but I know you're a big fisherman.
My all-time favorite place is a private pond over there by my dad's house in Lake Ridge. It's private, so you're always pulling out something. But other than the private stuff, Hickory Creek for catfish. Mm. What do you think about that, Bronis?
I'll tell you what, man. I Hickory Creek is a... people like say... To me, catfish is fun to do. It's one of those things. I hate handling them. I love catching them. I hate handling the fish.
Yeah,
once I catch them. Yeah, because you're always like worried, like, oh, this thing's gonna get me here, you know. But great eating, and they will fight. That pull them off the bottom. Some of them catfish. It is some good fishing. It really is.
If you've ever heard of Crossroads Church, there's one like by Mansfield. In the back, there's a pond. Yeah, you can pull out just some bass. Yeah. Pull some bass out of that one. I'm telling you.
This is a good spot.
Lake Fork, pretty good.
Yeah, there you
Ooh,
go.
Lake Fork. There you go. Legendary.
Yeah.
And there's this app that my cousin showed me called Fish Brain. It'll show you like all the places around here that have water and fish and who's pulling out what. And they like post it on there. It's like Facebook for fishermen.
That's awesome.
Check that out.
That's pretty sweet.
Lake Fork in the top five of this list.
Hey. Yeah, I tell you, Lake Fork is, I believe, the state record. Was pulled out of Lake Fork.
There we go.
Yeah. So, yeah, Lucius is right, though. I love the fact he's got all these ponds. Yeah. Like, he can just, like, pull up on
them. It's a secret weapon to know the ponds to go to.
Well, how about the guy I was telling you about when we're at Revolver? Remember the Tolo?
Yeah. He showed me all the pictures.
And I was just like, half his pictures were from ponds. Like, we were at Oak Cliff and caught this over here. And,
that's where they at, man.
That thing looked like, it's like, how big is that? Oh, I don't know. I had to have a scale. I'm like, damn thing looked like it's about 10 pounds. Pulled it out of a pond over, you know, by out in Oak Cliff, right in the middle of downtown there. So, but there's some outstanding places. You know, Caddo Lake, Lake Texoma.
Yes,
is Lake Conroe, Sam Rayburn. I mean, they've got some big time lakes in the state. My favorite one is Echo, which is the my place in East Texas.
There you go.
And that's a fenced in one that you go to. But if you guys ever want to go, we'll take you out.
Hell yeah, it'd be fun.
Where's Lake Tawakoni?
Ooh, that's what they were talking about with like the meth. Remember we did the meth thing?
Oh, the Lake Tawakoni got brought up?
That's what the meth? That's like the big time meth area.
Okay.
I thought that was Possum Kingdom.
Lake Tawakoni.
They're tweaking.
Hey, Possum Kingdom too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Possum Kingdom.
They've been grooving over there.
There's one they were telling me about called Falcon Lake. It's on the border of the U.S. and Mexico.
Okay.
That people were talking about. And then, Toledo Bend is on the border of Texas and Louisiana. Is a good place to fish as well.
Not for us, is nice try. You're not getting my honey hole. Come on, share the wealth.
Yeah, come on, man.
I'm trying to find out the best places to go here.
I'm looking at this fan text and writing stuff down.
Yeah. Lake Whitney for stripers from the 214.
Right.
Bethany Lakes and Allen is awesome for bass and catfish from the 928.
There you go.
Lake Athens.
There you go.
Getting some love. Lake Fork's getting a ton of love.
Yeah, Lake Fork. They hold... they held some big time tournaments. Like I said, I think the state record is out of Lake Fork.
Port Aransas and Rockport is getting texted in. Squaw Creek Reservoir and the Frio River.
Ooh.
We've got Alaska. Yes. I mean, halibut fishing. If you ever get the chance to go, you got to do that. That's amazing.
Tawakini is in Quinlan. Thank you, Kenny.
Quinlan. Yeah. There we go.
So yeah, when I used to work at the Fishing and Hunting News in Seattle, we'd get somebody on
Dick
the horn.
Dick Barnes, what was your name?
You probably had great fishing there in Seattle.
It was pretty good. Yeah. The weather could be tricky.
Yeah.
Jim McCormick. But we knew about Lake Fork. So if we ever gotten a call with somebody from Texas and it wasn't going well, we just ask them if they'd ever been to Lake Fork.
There you go.
And that would, if that didn't brighten up their day and get the call going, nothing would.
Boom. That was it.
By the way, I want to send you a hunting knife while you're
at Lake Fork. Yeah. Let's go. We just got this text in from the 214, Lake Palestine for crappie, and that is number 10, East Texas, well-known.
Crappie?
No. Look,
oh, it is
keep
frothy,
it crappie.
Not crappie?
Keep it crappie, bro.
It's the crappie. Yeah. He said it like crappie. Is that how it's spelled? Yeah. C-R-A-P-P-I-E?
Sure. Wow, find some crappie.
Damn it.
Crappie.
Hey, I got some crappie on the line, guys. But they also like have state record catfish there, apparently.
Yeah, they do. Sure, sure do.
I never can catch crappie. They bite so fast.
Yeah.
And by the time I hit it, they're always gone.
They're crappy to catch.
What's wrong, honey? You've barely touched your crappie.
Yeah, this crappie's a little tough for me tonight. Meredith Reservoir comes in at number 9.
Meredith. Okay.
Number 8.
Meredith.
Guadalupe. The Guadalupe River comes in at number 8.
Is there like, as fishermen, is there like a place in the country that you aspire? Like, man, this is this area or whatever.
If you can give me the choice to go right now. I want to go fish in Cuba.
Ooh, all right. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Things are starting to open up a lot more, but you can go down like Costa Rica, peacock bass. There's some beautiful in South America. There's some beautiful fish.
I can't tell you what the weather bass.
Yeah, I can't tell you what the weather is down there right now, but I can tell you that in South America there's some beautiful. But I would love to go fishing in Cuba.
I like those overseas fishing videos, but I don't like the fish. They look so exotic. They look scary. Yeah.
They do look scary.
I'll tell you what. You could go down. You could go down the Keys.
I like
Keys.
My fish born.
You could go, get on a boat when they pull around, around those flats in the Keys and stuff. And man, you could catch fish like in 6 inches of water. It's crazy.
Wow.
But they're
six
beautiful.
Inches of water.
They're
damn, beautiful. That's impressive.
Yeah. Beautiful fish.
Yeah, marlin in Florida.
Marlin is an all day thing, and if you go to like. If you head out to Cabo and places like that, sailfish and things, sport fishing. If you've got people that aren't used to being out on boats, that's a long day. Just be mindful of that.
That's a great point.
Don't take your friends out there because the minute somebody gets sick and it ruins for everybody else because they want to go back.
Yes.
They're immediately thinking like, we got to go back. We got to go. No. Just if you're not into being on boats and being all day and being out and doing that because it's a lot of work. But when you land one, it is spectacular.
Oh, man. It really is. Snook in Costa Rica from there you go. 7.
Yeah, Costa Rica is really beautiful.
Number 7, we have Cedar Creek Lake.
It's good fishing.
Some channel
catfish. Our guy Tovash is a big fisherman out there. At Cedar Creek,
Get some crappie there at Cedar Creek Lake as well, apparently. Yeah. Number 6 is Lake of the Pines.
It's a good one.
Some more crappie, some flathead catfish, spotted bass, sunfish, white bass. We got Lake Fort coming in at number 5.
There you go.
They've got black crappie.
Mm. Sounds surprised.
Number 4 is, Lake Amistad.
Talk to a doctor about that.
Yeah, okay, Lake Amistad.
I got the black crappie.
I got the black crappies, Doc.
I'll tell you what, the Lake Amistad one, that's kind of like my place down there in Mexico. I think it's a border. It's a border fishing lake is what it is. So I know some people were talking about that. But I wasn't sure. Let me look that one up. Go ahead with your list. But yeah, okay, great fishing spot. Spring, summer, look at 12 months. It's in Del Rio, so it's in South Texas. It's 64,900-acre lake. It's fed by the Rio Grande River.
Yes, it's 12 miles northwest of Del Rio.
There you go.
Next up, number 3, we have Lake Texoma.
Yeah, that's striper fishing right there. That could be a fun day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Number 2, we got Choke Canyon Reservoir.
Choke Canyon.
Never fished there?
Yep.
And then number 1 is indeed Caddo Lake.
Yeah.
Catfish, sunfish, white bass, yellow bass, largemouth bass.
Largemouth.
And black crappie.
And they do not have the black crappie, just the traditional crappie.
I went and stayed out there last spring.
Not crappie fishing going on there.
No. That's it's nice crappie fishing there.
Yeah. All righty. Thank you, Woolchuck. The top 10 at 420 every afternoon here in the G-Bag Nation. Okay, when we come back, there is a Pete Prisco. That's a Brian's buddy. He's got his NFL top 100 out. How many Cowboys are on the list?
Talk about
crappie. That's coming up next here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Maybe the Mavericks can be the next to give, well, the Mavericks weren't. Maybe it's the Cowboys that can be the next to give us some sweet emotions here in DFW sports land.
Oh, man. Oh,
that was good. You like that?
That was good.
Son of a bitch.
Man, that's like that Ray Liotta meme.
Yes.
Wow. That was, yeah.
You're in your bag.
At 877-881-1053. Definitely a rebuilding year, right? I do feel like, you know, maybe as we take the temperature of Cowboys Nation here heading into the summer and then training camp right around the corner. I mean, you can't really tell looking at the stars. The top 100 released by Pete Prisco, we have six guys in here. Micah Parsons leads the Cowboys with 9. CD at 21st here in the top 100. You have Dak at 49. Tank at 55. I thought your guy Pete Prisco might have put Tank a little bit high there at 55. Tyler Smith.
Loves him. He loves him some Tank, though.
Hey, well-rounded
he
end.
He does.
I like Tank as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, he watches the tape right there, Pete.
Yeah. Tyler Smith at 75 and Zach Martin at 94. So you have six guys inside the top 100. Maybe not a lot at the top. Like, I would rather have my quarterback inside the top five than much anything else on this list. But Dak's sitting there at 49. What do you think about that idea, though? As far as being contenders, the Cowboys have been that. I think for almost all of Dak's career at this point in the offseason, we've thought, okay, things just got to fall their way. I think this offseason feels a lot different for me, and I'm kind of going into that mode where we're building towards the future this year more than trying to take advantage of an opportunity. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, look, they certainly are banking on some organic growth from within, right? I mean, they're like, hey, we drafted some guys. You have not panned out yet. Now is your time. I think that they feel as though they have been going forward and been all in the last few years with the moves like, hey, we're going to trade for Jonathan Hankins midseason. We're going to trade for Gilmore. We're going to trade for Cooks. And that has not gotten us past the divisional round. So this offseason, we're taking the time. We're going to eat this cap space right now. We'll see if they ever actually end up being good with the cap. But, yeah, I mean, you could look at it that way. Is I don't know if it's rebuilding, but they certainly haven't necessarily been super aggressive outside of Eric Kendricks being signed, which was not an expensive contract in free agency. So, yeah, I think that it's like, guys, if you want to go out there and perform, go and do it. But we believe that we have a talented enough roster, and it's now on you to go ahead and put forth that effort to kick us through that challenge to get to the NFC Championship game. And I don't know if that's going to happen. It's tough to ask Dak Prescott to do less with more.
I like the 6-8-2.
More with less.
Rebuilding? Yeah, rebuilding the trophy case to fit Lombardi number 6.
Wow.
That's holding the line. That must be the Mavs fan that thought they were still winning it down 3-0.
That's weed. That's weed.
What do you think, Brian? You have a pretty good objective opinion on these things usually.
Yeah, usually.
Sometimes you homer it up.
I homered it up on that Celtics series for sure. The thing is that...
Not cool, man. Too soon.
What was that?
Too soon.
That was weird, bro.
No, I didn't homer it up on that, right?
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Oh. You ain't got to bring it up and spike the ball again, you know what I mean?
You know what?
In I mean, Celtics I felt...
Had that right, didn't I?
I felt challenged.
Idiots.
I felt challenged, so I had to remind the challenger that I was...
Yeah. I'm impressed. You've turned over a new leaf.
Yeah.
After picking the Cowboys against the 49ers, maybe I'd lost hope in you.
I think we all, I mean, to me, there's certain things that you do in these games, like when you pick these teams, and you're like, I don't want to meet the wrath of the fan. I don't care anymore.
Nice.
When did that change for you?
I think after picking San Francisco, or actually picking Dallas to beat San Francisco.
The regular season game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not answering your question here, but the picking Colorado, you're not right about it. you know, picking Colorado over the Stars.
Right.
You know, you're thinking, oh, well, this team is better. I remember, you know, all the stuff that went into this. Boston's just a better team.
Yeah.
You know, they just were.
But and you knew that.
I felt that. Yeah. I felt that.
And that proved to be right.
That's what I felt. But anyway, to answer your Cowboys question, I'm probably 50. I'm over 51% now thinking that Dak Prescott's not going to play here in 2025.
Wow.
That's where I'm at right now.
51-49? 51-49.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang.
I don't think they're. I think that they're going to move on from this.
You don't think they have a genuine fear of their inability to correctly identify a quarterback, like Dak falls in their lap?
Yeah, they're taking a big chance here on Trey Lance. They're going to figure this thing out about Trey Lance. And if Trey Lance doesn't look good enough in this summer, I could see them drafting, just go ahead and moving on from both guys and drafting a quarterback in 2025.
Mm. To me, that's terrifying, but it's also very exciting.
It's exciting. I wish it was maybe a better quarterback class that we were looking ahead to. Maybe that can change. Maybe somebody emerges.
Well, you're probably not going to be bad enough to be in a position to take a great one, but maybe you could in 2026. Like, cap hell still applies to 2025, and I think that might be part of why Brian's right here, that they're moving on from Dak, just because their books are in a total disaster.
And it is. I mean, they would just have to be willing to have a four-win season. You know, and right now they just that's the one thing they haven't wanted to do.
Dak is not going to allow them to have a four-win season.
Agreed.
So they're going to be in a mode where they're somewhere probably picking. They don't win the division. You get 9 wins. We played the game. We had them 9-8 as a show.
Yeah,
We had them as 9-8. And so to me, if you feel that way and they don't win the division and they don't get in the playoffs, then they're probably picking somewhere 13, 14, 15, right around there. You know, so is that a good enough spot to grab you a quarterback? Are you going to be aggressive enough to go up? Would you consider now trading Micah Parsons to go up and try and get your quarterback?
If we're going full rebuild, I would love that. You know, I think that's way through.
He's
either with a quarterback on a rookie deal or you know, with such a loaded team from draft picks, or you take the next Mahomes. If you don't have the next Mahomes, I think you should be in the rookie quarterback game. Like the agents and the players have crushed the owners with the scarcity, right? Mm-hmm. And forced them into paying for guys that really have no hope of carrying a flawed roster. That's all you get once you pay a guy is a flawed roster. Like barely Pro Bowlers, sometimes Pro Bowlers. You're keeping your fingers crossed and hoping that guy can go toe-to-toe with a Patrick Mahomes. It just ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
And this guy is even more in his prime now. Even if you could get through the NFC, you can have no shot against, you know, Mahomes, or maybe Burrow's that player, maybe Stroud's becoming that player. And I want to be in the game of trying to find that next guy. 469, yes, let's tank it up. 469, Cowboys over under 10.5, definitely taking the under. Gavin, the biggest free agent the Cowboys signed was Mike Zimmer. I know. I'm with you. You know, you don't have to convince me. I'm sort of apathetic about what's coming up with this football team this season. I'm not having the same sort of excitement as training camp is coming up. Obviously, I'm looking forward to being out there in California. I'm looking forward to the Cowboys playing football. But as far as my sports excitement right now, it's the Rangers. You know, we got to get this Rangers turned around. And I'm stoked about what CY is going to do here at the trade deadline, because he's not going to sit around and watch bad production happening with sort of a hole at first base and center field and just take a pass on that opportunity. He's going to go out there and find somebody with the resources they have that can get the job done, turn this thing around. That's where my sports excitement is. My sports excitement is back on the Mavs and Stars. I'm more excited about their training camps that are like freaking 5 months away, 4 months away.
Yeah, Mavs 3.5.
Yeah, I'm right around the corner now.
Yeah, and you should be. I mean, honestly, those teams have given you reason to be way more excited and optimistic.
We got to run, Nation. When we return, it's an addition to the finest, Chief. What's in store today?
Football's Golden Bachelor, an update on him, tight end you, and perhaps a little guessing game for you boys next year in the Nation.
Maybe the Mavericks can be the next to give, the Mavericks weren't. Maybe it's the Cowboys that can be the next to give us some sweet emotions here in DFW sports land.
You think I'm white?
Oh man, that was good. You like that? That was good. We can only pray.
Man, that's like that Ray Liotta meme.
Yes.
Wow.
That was, yeah.
You're in your bag.
At 877-881-1053. Definitely a rebuilding year, right? I do feel like, you know, maybe as we take the temperature of Cowboys Nation here heading into the summer and then training camp right around the corner. I mean, you can't really tell looking at the stars. The top 100 released by Pete Prisco, we have six guys in here. Micah Parsons leads the Cowboys with 9. CD at 21st here in the top 100. You have Dak at 49. Tank at 55. I thought your guy Pete Prisco might have put Tank a little bit high there at 55. Tyler Smith loves him some Tank, though. Hey, well-rounded end.
He does.
I like Tank as well.
Yeah, he watches the tape right there, Pete.
Yeah. Tyler Smith at 75 and Zach Martin at 94. So you have six guys inside the top 100. Maybe not a lot at the top. Like, I would rather have my quarterback inside the top five than much anything else on this list. But Dak's sitting there at 49. What do you think about that idea, though? As far as being contenders, the Cowboys have been that. I think for almost all of Dak's career at this point in the offseason, we've thought, okay, things just got to fall their way. I think this offseason feels a lot different for me, and I'm kind of going into that mode where we're building towards the future this year more than trying to take advantage of an opportunity. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, look, they certainly are banking on some organic growth from within, right? I mean, they're like, hey, we drafted some guys. You have not panned out yet. Now is your time. I think that they feel as though they have been going forward and been all in the last few years with the moves like, hey, we're going to trade for Jonathan Hankins midseason. We're going to trade for Gilmore. We're going to trade for Cooks. And that has not gotten us past the divisional round. So this offseason, we're taking the time. We're going to eat this cap space right now. We'll see if they ever actually end up being good with the cap. But, yeah, I mean, you could look at it that way. Is I don't know if it's rebuilding, but they certainly haven't necessarily been super aggressive outside of Eric Kendricks being signed, which was not an expensive contract in free agency. So, yeah, I think that it's like, guys, if you want to go out there and perform, go and do it. But we believe that we have a talented enough roster, and it's now on you to go ahead and put forth that effort to kick us through that challenge to get to the NFC Championship game. And I don't know if that's going to happen. It's tough to ask Dak Prescott to do less with more.
I like the 6-8-2.
More with less.
Rebuilding? Yeah, rebuilding the trophy case to fit Lombardi number 6.
Wow.
That's holding the line. That must be the Mavs fan that thought they were still winning it down 3-0.
That's weed. That's weed.
What do you think, Brian? You have a pretty good objective opinion on these things usually.
Yeah, usually.
Sometimes you homer it up.
I homered it up on that Celtics series for sure. The thing is that...
Not cool, man. Too soon.
What was that?
Too soon.
That was weird, bro.
No, I didn't homer it up on that, right?
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Oh. You ain't got to bring it up and spike the ball again, you know what I mean?
You know what?
In I mean, Celtics I felt...
Had I that right, didn't I?
I felt challenged.
Idiots.
I felt challenged, so I had to remind the challenger... that I was.
Don't challenge me.
I'm impressed. You've turned over a new leaf.
Yeah.
After picking the Cowboys against the 49ers, maybe I'd lost hope in you.
I think we all, I mean, to me, there's certain things that you do in these games, like when you pick these teams and you're like, I don't want to meet the wrath of the fan. I don't, to be honest with you, I don't care anymore.
Nice. When did that change for you?
I think after picking San Francisco, or actually picking Dallas to beat San Francisco.
The regular season game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't, or picking, like I picked the thing with, I'm not answering your question here, but the picking Colorado, you're not right about it, you know, picking Colorado over the Stars.
Right.
You know, you're thinking, oh, well, this team is better. I remember, you know, all the stuff that went into this. Boston's just a better team.
Yeah.
You know, they just were.
But and you knew that. I felt that.
Yeah. I felt that.
And that to be
that,
right.
That's what I felt. But anyway, to answer your Cowboys question, I'm probably 50. I'm over 51% now thinking that Dak Prescott's not going to play here in 2025.
Wow.
That's where I'm at right now.
51-49.
Yeah, yeah.
Dang.
I don't think they're. I think that they're going to move on from this.
You don't think they have a genuine fear of their inability to correctly identify a quarterback, like Dak falls in their lap?
Yeah, they're taking a big chance here on Trey Lance. They're going to figure this thing out about Trey Lance. And if Trey Lance doesn't look good enough in this summer, I could see them drafting, just go ahead and moving on from both guys and drafting a quarterback in 2025.
To me, that's terrifying, but it's also very exciting.
It's exciting. I wish it was maybe a better quarterback class that we were looking ahead to. Maybe that can change. Maybe somebody emerges.
Well, you're probably not going to be bad enough to be in a position to take a great one, but maybe you could in 2026. Like, cap hell still applies to 2025, and I think that might be part of why Brian's right here, that they're moving on from Dak, just because their books are in a total disaster.
And it is. I mean, they would just have to be willing to have a four-win season. You know, and right now they just that's the one thing they haven't wanted to do.
Dak is not going to allow them to have a four-win season.
Agreed.
So they're going to be in a mode where they're somewhere probably picking. They don't win the division. You get 9 wins. We played the game. We had them 9-8 as a show.
Yeah,
we had them as 9-8. And so to me, if you feel that way and they don't win the division and they don't get in the playoffs, then they're probably picking somewhere 13, 14, 15, right around there. You know, so is that a good enough spot to grab you a quarterback? Are you going to be aggressive enough to go up? Would you consider now trading Micah Parsons to go up and try and get your quarterback?
If we're going full rebuild, I would love that. You know, I think that's way through.
He's
either with a quarterback on a rookie deal or you know, with such a loaded team from draft picks, or you take the next Mahomes. If you don't have the next Mahomes, I think you should be in the rookie quarterback game. Like the agents and the players have crushed the owners with the scarcity, right? Mm-hmm. And forced them into paying for guys that really have no hope of carrying a flawed roster. That's all you get once you pay a guy is a flawed roster. Like barely Pro Bowlers, sometimes Pro Bowlers. You're keeping your fingers crossed and hoping that guy can go toe-to-toe with a Patrick Mahomes. It just ain't going to happen.
Yeah,
and this guy is even more in his prime now. Even if you could get through the NFC, you can have no shot against, you know, Mahomes, or maybe Burrow's that player, maybe Stroud's becoming that player. And I want to be in the game of trying to find that next guy. 469, yes, let's tank it up. 469, Cowboys over under 10.5, definitely taking the under. Gavin, the biggest free agent the Cowboys signed was Mike Zimmer. I know, I'm with you. You know, you don't have to convince me. I'm sort of apathetic about what's coming up with this football team this season. I'm not having the same sort of excitement as training camp is coming up. Obviously, I'm looking forward to being out there in California. I'm looking forward to the Cowboys playing football. But as far as my sports excitement right now, it's the Rangers. You know, we got to get this Rangers turned around. And I'm stoked about what CY is going to do here at the trade deadline, because he's not going to sit around and watch bad production happening with sort of a hole at first base and center field and just take a pass on that opportunity. He's going to go out there and find somebody with the resources they have that can get the job done, turn this thing around. That's where my sports excitement is. My sports excitement is back on the Mavs and Stars. I'm more excited about their training camps that are like freaking 5 months away, 4 months away.
Yeah, Mavs 3.5.
Yeah, right around the corner now.
Yeah, and you should be. I mean, honestly, those teams have given you reason to be way more excited and optimistic.
We got to run, Nation. When we return, it's an addition to the finest, Chief. What's in store today?
Football's Golden Bachelor, an update on him, tight end you, and perhaps a little guessing game for you boys next year in the Nation.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.